Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. Come on.
Tiger Rag Radio is on the air.
Let's crank this thing up.
We're statewide breaking down the latest happenings with LSU athletics.
This is us.
Hear from the coaches.
What's required and asked of you to represent our university.
The players.
Just having fun and we working, baby. That's it, baby.
The recruits.
Show some passion and some heart.
And those who cover the Fighting Tigers of LSU and the SEC.
We're all in to finish what we've started.
It's 2 hours of nonstop LSU talk.
What a privilege. I mean, you get to represent LSU.
Tiger Rag Radio is brought to you by Cummins. Cummins creates power solutions that the world depends on. Louisiana Beef Industry Council. Boudreaux's Electrical Services. Sunshine Quality Solutions. Super Chevy Dealers. And Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. Get ready to talk Tigers with producer Andre Champagne and our host, Todd Horn, Jeff Palermo, and Glenn Gildo.
Two great players that are better people than they are players.
This is Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Welcome to hour number two. Jeff Palermo, news and sports director of the Louisiana Radio Network, along with the executive editor of Tiger Rag, Todd Horn, and the editor, Glenn Gilbo, Andre Champagne, our producer, also LRN reporter and Tiger Rag reporter. Let's get right to our next guest here as we're broadcasting from the Super Chevy Dealer Studios, and that is the great Bruce Feldman from The Athletic and Fox as well. Bruce, thanks a lot. Crazy times right now, so we are going to ask you what we've asked everybody so far here on the show. What is Lane Kiffin going, what is he going to do, and when is he going to do it? What are you hearing?
Man, I don't know if anybody knows. Lane Kiffin likes to keep loves attention, and he likes to keep people guessing. Initially I felt like, you know what, I think he's going to stay in Oxford at Ole Miss, because I know his family likes it there, and I know he realizes he can get to the playoff from there. But, you know, is he tempted by Florida? Is he a little tempted by LSU? I'm sure he has, you know, has some interest. It's also probably not a stretch to think he's going to be able to, he and the people who represent him are going to use all that as leverage, whether he wants to stay or not. They're going to get the biggest deal out of it possible. And right now he's the belle of the ball when it comes to the coaching carousel.
Hey, Bruce, this is Todd. Maybe I'm a little sensitive, but it sounds like you said that Florida may be tempting to him. Maybe LSU's a little tempting. Does that mean you're favoring Florida in his mind?
I think that's my hunch on it, just because I think he has some more connections there. You know, he spent a lot of time in Florida. His ex-wife, I think, went to school at Florida. You know, he obviously coached at FAU and got his coaching career really off the ground as a head coach there, in this second act. So that's why. And also, you know, as good of a job as the LSU job is, and obviously you guys know the history with, before Brian Kelly showed up, the previous three coaches all won national titles there, which is a rare thing to accomplish from one coach to the next to the next. But to wonder how much dysfunction and just kind of craziness that you might have to deal with as a head coach there, you know, it's not to say Florida has perfect alignment, because it's been a while since somebody has won there. They keep firing coaches. They've tried everything different. But I just wonder if there's a little more of a connection to being in Florida than there is for him to be in Louisiana.
Sure, and I think he owned a home in Tampa at one time. And, of course, his dad became the great defensive coordinator at Tampa.
And his wife is the daughter of John Reeves, who was the great Florida quarterback.
That's right, that's right. A lot of ties there. And as Virg Osbury would say, though, Bruce, all the politics and craziness happens at LSU only when you start losing. So that's what he's probably telling Lane,
I think it happens. I mean, it's just like, honestly, it still happens around there.
Yeah,
does. You can say that, but it happens, you know, like even win or lose. It's worse when you're losing. But I think it's still, we've seen plenty of examples where it's going on, win or lose.
Right, right. Everybody's hand is in the pot. But Bruce, what do you think of Lane as a coach, just a pure coach? What is your opinion of him?
I think he's done a really terrific job in Oxford. You know, he was a good play caller, certainly you know, for Saban. And I think what he's done is he's continued to evolve as a football coach, and credit to him for that. You know, is he going to win a national title? I think one of the knocks on him for a little bit was he had taken a program and stabilized it, but you did wonder, can he get it over the top? You know, and last year, you know, as good of a year as it was, they built a talented roster, and then they ended up, you know, losing to two teams that were, you know, that were unranked that probably they shouldn't have lost to.
Yeah, Kentucky.
Right? This year,
loss.
Yeah, you have a good win over Oklahoma. We'll see how they do, you know, if he's the head coach, you know, 2 months from now, how they do in the playoff, because there would have to be an epic collapse for them not to make it into the playoff, and then we'll see. You know, as you guys well know, just getting to the playoff or just having a top 10 team isn't going to be good enough at LSU. It might be good. It'd probably be good enough at Florida, but I think that's why, you know, he's definitely a good coach. He's definitely a really good play caller and a good, you know, good with scheme. I think there's a lot of other pieces that, you know, still remain to be seen, but it's not like there's a deep pool of candidates out here, whether you're Florida, Penn State, or LSU.
Bruce, I'm going to change the subject on you a little bit. I know you spent a lot of time, did a lot of digging, did a lot of work investigating this, talking to a lot of people. Where did Brian Kelly go wrong at LSU? Why did that $95 million, $100 million fail?
I think it started out with he was just a really bad fit. I think for people who are kind of paying attention to how he has been, you know, in that job, I think one of the things that was Nick Saban, certainly Les Miles, yes, Ed Ogeron was obsessed with recruiting. You cannot be like, you know, thinking about golf or not being here or schedule and stuff like recruiting. You have to be ready to go and build relationships. And I feel like that was the part he did, you know, he was not a great fit for. Now there's other things, like we did a couple of real deep dives at the Athletic on Brian Kelly, one last year and one this year after he got fired. The one last year, you know, I talked to this kid who started 2 years at center. He was on the record, basically just said Brian Kelly, he never really tried to get to know him. I mean, this wasn't like a walk-on who never saw the field. This was his starting center for 2 years. I mean, it was just kind of like eye-opening, because you would hear a lot of stuff from other people in the building. This kid, you know, put his name on it about he just didn't even – that just wasn't who he was. You know, it was always about if somebody wanted to meet with him, you'd have to have an appointment and schedule an appointment. That's not how college football works at most places. And so I think that was a big part. He certainly made some bad hires along the way early on. You know, like you don't need to be going outside of Louisiana to get a lot of players. I'm not saying you can't get some, but why are you going to the Midwest for a bunch of guys? And, you know, look, some of the moves he made early on, the first guy he fires, Tommy Moffitt, you know, Tommy Moffitt was good enough to help three different guys win national titles. Tommy
Corey
Moffitt
Raymond
is what he's doing.
Corey Raymond was another mistake.
Oh yeah, and they rectified the Corey Raymond piece, but it was already pretty late because they, you know, they had good offenses and terrible defenses. You know, Corey Raymond knows what he's doing. A lot of it was change for change's sake. Whether a lot of that was Scott Woodward, you know, saying he wanted those things, or Brian Kelly leaning into it, it was a big mistake. You know.
Go ahead, Bruce. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Something you just said about Scott Woodward leaning into it, that's something you found out, right? That Scott Woodward was very involved, or more so involved than most people would think, in football decisions and pressing Kelly at different times.
Yeah, and you would hear, you know, we talked, Ralph and Russo and I, for the story we did a couple of weeks ago, we talked to a bunch of people who were there, some are still there, and they would just say, we've never seen an AD as involved in the day-to-day football program, whether it is in the recruiting, you know, like the recruiting board and the minutia of it. You know, it's great that your AD can have an interest in it. It's another thing when he is so actively involved in it. You know, I know this. I don't think it was Ed Ogeron's idea to say, hey, let's bring Bo Pelini back. You know, like, right. I think there were certain things that the AD cares, and the AD's certainly made some good hires in other parts of the athletic program, but I think some of these things ended up coming back to bite Brian Kelly and bite LSU in the butt.
What do you think would happen if Lane Kiffin had a good enough relationship? I don't think he really cares that much for Brian Kelly, but if he were to call Brian Kelly and get his take, what do you think Kelly would tell him about the LSU job?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, I can't imagine he has that good of a relationship because I see what Lane's tweeted about him and tweaked him on certain things. So I can't imagine
he's right with Jimbo on Lane's admirable list. He's right there with Jimbo Fisher.
He's probably a little lower because Jimbo didn't go dance on that spinning thing or go, Jimbo sounds like Jimbo. Jimbo didn't come up with that accent.
Like
Brian was giving people a lot of fodder, whether he intended to or not. I don't know. I'd be curious about that because, when we did our story, I know my colleague Ralph Russo heard some people who were definitely in the Brian Kelly camp to some extent, and I feel like a lot of that is, at the end of the day, the results are the results. He was there 4 years. He never had a top 10 season. He had a Heisman Trophy winner. That's good. I mean, Jaden Daniels was a great get, but I think, again, they didn't have a top 10 season in 4 years. I don't know how, at the end of the day, it's like the head coach is accountable for that. He shook things up and he shook up the bottle and it blew up in everybody's face, especially his.
You mentioned Ed Orgeron, Bruce, a second ago, and you had the great book on him, Flip the Script, after the 2019 title. I talked a little bit to Ed last week. He's been mentioned for Arkansas and Oregon State jobs. I don't know how seriously of a candidate he is. Do you think Ed is going to get a head coaching job soon?
I don't know. My gut is Arkansas may want to just hire a group of five guy and maybe somebody younger. I don't think Ed and Sam Pittman have that much in common. To be honest, they were both old line coaches. And they're both, in their 60s.
Right.
But, Sam, it was his first time as a head coach and first time in the SEC. And Ed obviously had been through it both, learned from the mistakes at Ole Miss and then, he ended up being a head coach at USC for a bit and then obviously was at LSU for a while. I just think that a lot of times ADs want the opposite of what they had and that could be a more of the upstart guy who isn't, is in his 40s or maybe even late 30s. Than that. I don't know what Oregon State's like. It's a different level job. I don't know what the expectations are. Arkansas would have, it seemed to me would have made a lot of sense because he actually coached there as a younger coach,
strength coach,
and there's a lot of overlap there. But I think ultimately it's like, that's going to be the AD's decision. And, my guess is it'll be somebody who's, more the group of five level coach than a coach who's either been in the SEC or, a former head coach.
Bruce, if Lane Kiffin does come to LSU, do you see Ed potentially joining him on the staff at LSU?
It wouldn't shock me. I mean, Ed and Lane go way back. I mean, Lane's younger brother, Chris, Ed kind of mentored for a while when he first got into coaching. I mean, they have a big connection, so I wouldn't be surprised if that. Obviously, Ed knows Louisiana as well as anybody, so I wouldn't be surprised if that was something that Lane reached out to Ed about if it went in that direction.
Hey, Bruce, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.
Bruce Feldman from The Athletic joining us. We'll take a break. More coming up from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio. This is Tiger Rag Radio.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your Super Chevy dealers today.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-CUMMINS, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-CUMMINS.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac Home Standby Generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac Home Standby Generator.
Go online to BoudreausElectrical.com for information about Generac Standby Generators.
A sizzling T-bone steak, a mouth-watering char-grilled hamburger, a slow-smoked brisket. There are plenty of reasons to grill beef this fall. With 29 cuts of lean, protein-packed beef to choose from, there's always something succulent to serve to your family. So this weekend and throughout the fall, be the hero of your backyard barbecue by serving what everybody wants, the delicious taste of certified Louisiana beef. So remember, beef, it's what's for dinner. Brought to you by the Louisiana Cattle Producers through the Louisiana Beef Industry Council and the Beef Checkoff.
Back to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealers Studio, Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo. Guys, we'll have Jim Mashick, who covers Western Kentucky. He will join us coming up.
Jim Mashick is a big name in Baton Rouge, man. He played offensive line for Western Kentucky in the early 70s.
You know, when I was a young pup like Luke, growing up.
You were a lot like Luke.
And working at the
– You got to explain who Luke is.
Luke is Andre.
Andre Champagna. His nickname is Luke Champagna.
So anyway, but Mashick worked at the Advocate, and I was working at the Advocate working the desk and, you know, covering high school games and stuff. And he taught me a lot.
He was a great writer.
He used to be a regular guest here on Tiger Rag Radio. So yeah. This is not his first appearance. It's been maybe a decade. I think Matt DeVille was the editor of Tiger Rag when we used to have Jim Mashick on, because he'd provide comic relief. So I'm really looking forward to that next segment. All right, guys. Some rapid fire questions here for you. Do you think Lane Kiffin will be the next head coach at LSU?
I do.
Okay.
I want him to be the next LSU coach, but I have a bad feeling. I don't think it's going to happen. I hope it happens.
I want to say yes too. But Lane is so good at trolling. And I just no one can read him. I just think no one really truly knows what's going to happen.
Just like his offense.
The reason I say yes is because Saban through Sexton is pushing that if he makes the decision to leave Ole Miss, like Clint said. And number two, he basically described LSU whenever last week he was asked.
But he also was describing Florida too.
But LSU was would get more of the lean in that description.
Okay.
So,
but you're an LSU guy.
I am. I am.
But he did say everything but the oak trees. You're right.
Yep. Go ahead, rapid fire.
Next one, rapid fire.
Next, okay. If it's not Lane Kiffin, who will be the next head coach?
I'm leaning towards Dillingham.
I would think it's going to be Eli Drinkwitz if it's not him, but it might be somebody we're not even thinking of.
I'll go both of those guys. It's going to be one of those two. I don't think it's going to be Brohm. I think it's going to be either Dillingham or Drinkwitz.
Okay. Go again. You're not rapid enough.
Has Garrett Nussmeier played his last down at LSU?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. If he doesn't dress out this weekend, yes.
Okay. Well, yeah. Right. Okay. All right. Let me ask you, do you think Frank Wilson will be a part of the next staff?
Yes.
Maybe.
I'll say yes as well.
Or maybe is allowed?
For a recruiting
I would say yes, standpoint. But he might not be one of the assistant coaches. He might be you know, GM or football ops. Or
just a recruiting coordinator.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I could see him moving him up to a kind of a more of an administrative role. I could certainly see that.
But still active with the players and recruiting.
Okay, all right. Will Michael Van Buren be the starting quarterback for LSU next year?
No.
I'll say that Michael Van Buren will be a starting quarterback next year, but it may not be at LSU.
Yeah.
I will also say the same thing as Todd. I think LSU is going to go after a high-name profile kid in the portal.
Okay. All right. Those are. I don't know. I don't think I got any more questions.
Oh, come on, man.
What else?
I got a question.
Yeah, sure.
Is LSU beating Alcorn State right now in basketball?
In hoops? I don't know. I don't know. And I don't understand. I understand why Matt McMahon's team is playing Alcorn State. I don't understand why Kim Mulkey's team is playing Alcorn State later this week.
You just don't like basketball, Jeff.
I don't like it in November during a coaching season.
Luke tells me that LSU's losing 25-20 to Alcorn State right now.
Let me ask you this, Jeff. Kim Mulkey was critical of the low number of reporters at her game at Tulane last night. She accused the reporters of worrying too much about Lane Kiffin. The Advocate was there, and Andre was there from
Luke.
Tiger Rag. Luke was there,
too. Yeah, she wasn't talking about me, so...
But she was upset
here.
She was upset that the TV stations for Baton Rouge were not there. You think she has a point?
No. I don't think she has a point at all.
Okay.
To be fair, it is just an hour drive.
But it was a non-ranked team, and it's November.
She doesn't know who's, you know, a lot of TV stations on Mondays, you don't have both reporter. Andre would know this a lot more than I do.
That is true.
They would be there Monday night of the Final Four.
Right.
That's different. I mean, this is Tulane, and you're beating them by 40 in the first 4 minutes.
Monday is also a big off day for reporters. And if she wants
better coverage, play better non-conference teams.
Yeah, but let me ask you this.
That's true, too. Yes. And how about talk to the media during the week when you don't have a game?
Exactly. Good point.
I want to ask a serious question. Andre, you were there. Why did LSU play so poorly after the first quarter?
Well, I don't think Kim Mulkey kind of just left her second stringers in when they were kind of struggling, and I think she was just trying to test them for the most part. But defensively, they looked really poor last night, especially down low. Now, the guard play was phenomenal, but the post players, they definitely showed some weaknesses last night, which we haven't seen because they haven't played any height. So that was most concerning. But trust me, Alcorn State might be winning tonight, but they're certainly not going to win tomorrow night. And they certainly might not get more than 10 points tomorrow. So
I will say something positive. To score 100 points in 5 straight games against, regardless of who you're playing, it is impressive. I'll say that.
That's the highest. They're the highest scoring LSU women's basketball team ever right now, yeah, aren't they?
All right.
Yeah, so, only team in the SEC to score 100-plus points in 5 straight games.
Jim Mashick, when we come back here on Tiger Rag Radio.
Every winner knows a great play starts with a solid game plan and the right team by your side. At Sunshine, we're here to keep your operation running strong. From tractors to harvesters, we've got the John Deere equipment you need to tackle every job with confidence. Because when the work's done right, there's more time for the things that matter, like cheering on your favorite team. Make Sunshine Quality Solutions part of your playbook this season and learn more about what it means to be powered by Sunshine at sunequip.com.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
I'm Richard Funtno, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. For more than 100 years, Louisiana Farm Bureau has been the voice of Louisiana agriculture. Louisiana Farm Bureau advocates on behalf of all the farmers and ranchers across our great state. What that really means is we advocate for you to ensure we have the safest, most abundant, and affordable food supply in the world. Louisiana Farm Bureau is 145,000 members strong, and we want you to join the Louisiana Farm Bureau family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
And we're back with Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Glenn Gilbo and Todd Horn from Tiger Rag Magazine. I don't think most LSU fans recognize an 8-2 team is coming into Tiger Stadium on Saturday night. I mean, that, you know, this is big time here. 6-1 in Conference USA. The Hilltoppers will be visiting the Tigers. Here to talk about it, covers Western Kentucky, played for Western Kentucky, Jim Mashick, longtime college football reporter, now writes at jimmashick.com. Jim, thanks a lot for being a part of Tiger Rag Radio. We used to have, in another lifetime ago of Tiger Rag Radio, we used to have you on quite a bit when you were working at the paper in Biloxi. So it's great to have you back.
I remember.
On.
And, pleasure to be back.
It's a pleasure.
Hey, Todd. Hey, Glenn.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Thanks for joining us, buddy.
That's awesome.
I'm in the parking garage at Western Kentucky as we speak. But I wanted to see the corgi race. I'm not covering the game, but apparently all the four of the five corgis went in the wrong direction. That was the halftime entertainment.
Who was the favorite corgi and by how much?
Well, Randy Lee, the voice of the Hilltoppers and a buddy of mine, he dubbed the winner the Secretariat of the Corgi Race World. So that's pretty hot praise, wouldn't you say?
Wow, yes, for sure.
A lot happening there. You sure? That sounds more exciting than sitting outside.
I didn't want to be in the press room during halftime doing this because I know Glenn could get pretty outrageous. And Todd, oh, man, just, you know, open the exits. Get Todd out of here. You never know what he's going to come up with.
Hey, Todd said that you mentored him back at the Advocate, man. When he was covering high school.
All I know is that picture of us at the regional in UK went down there 3 years ago.
Oh,
I guess
that's right.
Two or three. Yeah, I had my eyes closed, and Todd kind of stuck his head in. I put it on my Facebook profile.
He photobombed us, man.
Yeah, I think it was a photobomb. You're right.
Well, Jim.
That was a fun trip. I drove. I wish I could come down, but I'm covering high school football and Friday night in Louisville, and I'll be watching. I mean, my friend and I and my dog, we're going to make a little adventure out of it and go to Bardstown on Saturday. It's a kind of a hit, trendy town with cool. A lot of historical sites. Yeah, it's really cool, and a bunch of distilleries. It's maybe 45 minutes from Louisville.
Well, Jim.
On the way to Lexington.
Jim, since you're not going to be here, just tell us, if an 8-2 Western Kentucky team can score 28 points on LSU, they'll probably win. So can they do that?
You know, I heard theories along those lines. I asked the producer what the spread was because I really didn't know.
22.
Is it down to 22?
I just know that it's
I heard 23.5 just now, but it's okay. That's a fair number. We kind of thought it might be 20.5 in that, there could be a potential push. But Western can score some points now. They could score. Now, they have a new quarterback, y'all may be aware, Rodney Tisdale Jr., a redshirt freshman from Jacksonville. He replaced the original starter, a graduate transfer from Abilene Christian, named Maverick McIver. And, wow. Of course, he goes by Mav for short. And I covered Maverick's dad, Rick McIver, at the University of Texas.
Oh,
including
awesome.
That disastrous Cotton Bowl where they helped Miami win a national championship. They lost to Georgia 10-9 earlier in the day, and then that night Miami upset that really good Nebraska team.
Well, Jim, I tell you,
1984, New Year's Day, 1984.
Well, you know, I would be afraid, Todd. I don't know if you agree. I would be afraid to give 22 points and take LSU in any game, but what kind of team?
I've seen a lot of their games, Glenn. I mean, I've seen bits and pieces. I saw most of the Alabama game. I didn't see A&M or Arkansas. There was an early season game I saw out of conference. I can't remember.
Clemson probably. But
Yeah, Clemson. Is Nussmeier done?
Nussmeier is probably done. He's probably not going to play any more this season. But their backup, Michael Van Buren, looked pretty good last week. But what type? How does Western Kentucky play? If you can give us a rundown, Jim.
They are a passing offense. Defense, they're kind of, they like to play coverage. Sometimes they don't rush enough. Their pass rush is a little weak because they're playing coverage and rushing three guys, and that almost burned them against Middle Tennessee last week, which, by the way, is 1-9, I think. And MTSU has the old Vandy coach, Derek Mason. Wow. And I don't think Derek's long for that job. It was a bad hire, kind of like Billy Napier at Florida. It was just a bad hire.
Well, now, Jim.
Hey, I want to hang with Billy Napier, though. I want, you know, wherever he's going, I want to hang out.
Well, he's at Georgia right now on staff.
Well, Jim, I got to ask
that.
Yeah, he's helping them with their recruiting already.
But he isn't officially part of their coaching staff, is he?
I think he's one of those consultant.
He's like a consultant or something? Yeah.
Analyst. So, Jim, how are the Western Kentucky offensive linemen compared to those offensive linemen that they had at the Hilltoppers in the early to mid-1970s? Case in point, Jim Masher.
They made me play offensive line, Glenn. I was a slow linebacker in high school, the old Okie 5-2, read, react, spend a lot of time on the field, get some highlights, get a scholarship. I didn't get the scholarship, so I wound up at WKU. My mom grew up an hour from here in Tennessee in Cheatham County between Nashville and Clarksville. They made me an offensive lineman, and as I told you this morning, the OL coach and I were from different planets. And he was where, you know, the banjos and the bourbon and the hay rides were, and I was from Washington, D.C. Metro. It just didn't work. So I wish they had given me a shot at defensive line. I might have been able to help, but it's the only thing I ever quit in my life. The ex-teammates that I've reconnected with have all been really, really helpful and friendly. And Virgil Livers, who played for the Chicago Bears for 5 years, lives right down the street from me.
Awesome.
And I've been meaning to do a story on Virgil. I just haven't had the chance. He's a real good guy. I think his health isn't great. A real good guy.
Hey, Jim, I want to ask you honestly, what's your perception of all your years being in Baton Rouge, being in Biloxi, being close to the LSU football program? What was your perception?
A lot of games at Tiger Stadium, but not when I was in Baton Rouge.
Right.
I've got Glenn can fill you in the reasons for that, but he goes by the Bop.
So I'm trying to get to a point here. So what is your take? What is your perception on LSU football this year? From Western
Kelly
Kentucky?
was a square peg in a round hole. He tried to, didn't he try a fake accent, and that went over like a lead balloon. I don't know. This is a big hire. You know, I don't know if Kiffin goes or not. He's got a pretty good thing going at Ole Miss without the pressure that you would have at LSU. And then there's Jeff Clandery. I know he's involved in all this. Didn't he change his name? Oh, Jeff Landry, excuse me. Jeff Landry.
By insulting him, we're going to get a phone call.
Oh, I'm not scared of any of these Trumpers. They can go jump in a lake. All of them.
If LSU, you know, Verge Osberry's obviously going after Kiffin. That's his number one choice. Verge is in charge.
I like Verge. He's a good guy. He's a real good guy.
Yeah. He is.
Yeah. But if he gets turned down, if he chooses to stay at Ole Miss, or if he chooses to go to Florida, do you like Landry's pick to pick the LSU coach? Yeah, he's going to pick Trump. He said he'll get like Trump.
Yeah, just give Diaper Donnie a call and let's see who he wants. You know, Newt Rodney. You know, I think Newt Rodney's ashes. Maybe I don't know. It's all ridiculous. You know, Rod Higgins is a buddy of mine, and I've talked to a couple other guys down there, and it's kind of embarrassing, really. you know, stay in your lane. You know, LSU has this great tradition. Don't sully it with nonsense. You know, and that's really what it is. I mean, hey, I'm just playing along. You know.
I hear you.
I'm a serious guy. Ask Glenn.
Well, Mash,
I'm a heart attack.
I wish you were coming down to Baton Rouge, man.
I wish I was,
man.
Too. I do. I came down Super Bowl week with my dog and went to Orange Beach a couple days, and I made it to Biloxi, but I was coming back to cover a big high school game, so I did two nights in Biloxi and came home.
Jim,
that, I mean, I've done a few Super Bowls in New Orleans, and they're a lot of fun.
But this is a good Western Kentucky team, Jim. I mean, I'm thinking if LSU.
It's the best of Tyson 7 years. It's the best of Tyson. I think this might be the year that Tyson is tempted to take another job.
I see.
You know, he's come up short a couple times. They faded. They faded last year and lost their bowl game. 2 years ago, a local kid from South Warren, Caden Belkamp, a really good high school, a great high school quarterback who had a lot of intangibles but not the strongest arm in the world. They kind of ran him off. They were talking about moving him to tight end, and he was the Conference USA Offensive Player of the Year, and he transferred in from Bowling Green. His dad was a journeyman coach. He's at Florida Atlantic now. Apparently, they're about a 500 team.
Well, Mash, we're signing off now. So, well, we're not signing off the show, but we're going to let you go. Sorry. Western?
You know that, Glenn. You know that.
What's the Western Kentucky battle cry? Can you give us the battle cry as you leave?
Ooh.
Is there one?
They've got a song that they've been playing since Reconstruction. Dear old Western, to stand up and cheer. It's called Stand Up and Cheer.
There it
now,
is.
I'm not going to subject your listeners to me singing. No way.
All right,
just
Jim.
Can't do it.
Thanks, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Jim.
I'll see you guys down the road. Enjoy it. See you.
All right, man.
All right. A blast from the past. Jim Mashick writes for jimmashick.com. Let's take a break. More coming up of Tiger Rag Radio from the Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
We now return to Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealers Studio.
Back here on Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Todd Horn and Glenn Gilbo. Great to hear from Jim Mashick again. It's been
hilarious.
A while. Yeah, he's one of a kind, a very unique individual and a funny, funny man.
He kind of mispronounced some names there, but
that's okay.
I'm going to have to text him after the show and see who won the Corgi race.
It is amazing. He had the same answer that Bruce Feldman had about Brian Kelly. Bad fit.
Yeah. Everybody's – I mean, it's – and it's the feel. It seemed like the LSU fans they want. There was a large percentage of LSU fans that really wanted it to work. That really believed it could work. Am I right on that?
Well, I think it's funny. Brian Kelly was never really wanted by LSU fans, but then when he was not in the picture, as we said earlier, but as soon as he got the job, LSU fans were really excited. Why? Because they got Notre Dame's coach.
Yeah.
You know, that's why they were excited. And he was established, and he was seen as a more serious and organized coach.
Structured.
Than Orgeron was. Because at the end, Orgeron did kind of lose it structure-wise, and really Les was kind of a laissez-faire coach.
Well, it turns out that Brian Kelly was the same thing.
Yeah.
From what you're hearing. I mean, we heard from Bruce Feldman about Brian Kelly rather go golfing and recruiting. And, I mean, that's what she had. It's what she had with the last – well, I don't want to say Les was a golfer, and I don't think Ed's a golfer. But you know what I'm saying. They had interest outside of – or they weren't sticking to what the job needed to be done.
Well, neither was Ed in his last couple of years.
Yeah.
But before that, he was a big-time recruiter, and he was hungry. But Kelly arrived here kind of on a golden parachute contract, not that hungry, kind of like a 33-year-old baseball player who gets the big contract and doesn't show up.
Go ahead, Todd.
I was going to say, the very first one-on-one conversation I ever had with Brian Kelly, he revealed that.
How did he say it?
Because I was talking to him about, obviously, you came here for the big contract, for the money. He goes, well, I was making $9 million a year at Notre Dame, which was private information. private institution, we couldn't verify that or not. But he's like, no, I made $9 million, but it's the guarantee, you know.
That's what he said?
Well, in so many words. I can't remember exactly how it was, but he left you with the impression that the guarantee was the most important part.
And I think he did think he'd have a better chance to win a national championship here than he did at Notre Dame, but I think he thought it would be easier. But,
yes, yeah. I think he looked at Les Miles and Ed Orgeron and said, hey, these guys aren't.
Well, and he thought he had alignment too, and he talked about that. He thought he had it with Scott Woodward, and he thought he had it with Bill Tate. And
what did you guys make? I didn't mean to interrupt, Todd, but Bruce Feldman and how much Scott Woodward meddled with the football program. Yeah. What'd you make out of that comment?
Well, at least we know where he was because he was never in his office. So he was in the football office.
Yeah, more and more is coming out about Scott Woodward, and he was overrated too, just like
Kelly. Yeah, well, and
they're really the same.
Yeah, and to hear that he was the one pushing, and I told Todd that a couple of weeks ago because I heard it on Bruce Feldman's podcast that it was Scott that pushed for Bo Pelini as the defensive coordinator. I mean, that's why
that ended Ed Orgeron's reign.
He's also the one who pushed for Blake Baker though, too. Remember the Vanderbilt game? I mean, the Missouri game a few years ago, whenever they showed Woodward talking to Baker out on the field.
Hopefully, Verge stays out of it, even though he knows much more about football than Scott Woodward ever dreamed of.
Good point. We'll have our final segment when we come back.
I'm Richard Fontenot, president of the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation. My brother and I grow rice, soybeans, and raise crawfish on our farm in Evangeline Parish. For a fourth-generation farmer like myself, Louisiana Farm Bureau is as much a part of my life as checking traps or harvesting rice. Our organization is more than 145,000 members strong, and we've been around for more than 100 years. The Louisiana Farm Bureau spans generations, and we want you to join our family.
Visit lafarmbureau.org, the Louisiana Farm Bureau Federation, the voice of Louisiana agriculture.
Cummins is known for their commitment to quality, performance, and products that are built to last. They make it their business to understand their customers' priorities and partner in their success. Cummins has the technical expertise and experience to deliver fast, high-quality repairs using genuine parts. And by calling 1-800-Cummins, you have access to one of the largest and most capable sales, service, and support organizations in the industry 24/7. For more information on Cummins products, service, or support, call 1-800-Cummins.
Chevy trucks have you covered when the road takes you from smooth sailing to Chevy Colorado will eat up some of the toughest terrains with five available drive modes. And Silverado and Silverado HD have the muscle to take you out for some serious with multiple engine options and impressive towing. While Silverado EV is the perfect combo of performance and capability,
nice,
making it a snap to hitch up this electric truck and hit the road. Wherever the road leads, Chevy trucks are right there with you. See your super Chevy dealers today.
When the power goes out, your life is disrupted. Heat, air conditioning, refrigeration, phones, all gone. Be prepared for the next outage with a Generac home standby generator. After sensing a power outage, a Generac generator automatically restores your home's power, whether you're home or away. Power your life with a Generac home standby generator.
Go online to BoudreausElectrical.com for information about Generac standby generators.
Now more Tiger Rag Radio, live from Super Chevy Dealer Studio.
Back here for the final segment of Tiger Rag Radio, Jeff Palermo along with Glenn Gilbo and Todd Horn and Andre Champagne. Andre, I understand you got something for us.
So during player interviews, they gave the media Michael Van Buren, and according to Wilson Alexander, Michael Van Buren made his wishes clear. He wants to stay at LSU through the coaching change. So there you go. He's not going to leave unless, I guess, he's forced out by
that's just January.
The coaching staff, yeah.
So that's not that long through the coaching change. That's just a couple of months. What about
spring?
Well,
I think we know what he means.
He would go through
the
window.
Next coach.
And there's
no matter who is hired, I guess.
Okay. He wants to be.
I'm a Tiger.
He's saying he's a Tiger. Yeah.
What do you? This seems to me like a media contrived story about he should just sit out and take the red shirt. If the kid wants to play, let him play.
Yeah, I don't understand that red shirt.
He's only a sophomore.
And I've heard.
You guys need to learn how to count money.
Yeah, but I still think those kids want to play, though, even if it's just a couple of games. And this is his chance.
And I still go back to my point of he does want to have more tape of himself with a legitimate program than what he had at Mississippi State. And in case he does have to move to Plan B, and it doesn't seem like the new coaching staff is interested in having him around, he's got an option here. But if the kid wants to play, let him play. I just, you know, and I think Frank has pretty made it pretty obvious that the kid wants to play and they want him to play.
Well, so, thinking about it like this too. When he signed at LSU, transferring from Mississippi State, which he was 1-7 as the starter, he was coming in where Garrett Nussmeier was, who was a number 5 passer in the nation last year, a supposed first round pick early. At times last year, they were saying he was going to be the first quarterback picked. He stays. He's supposed to be the Heisman Trophy candidate. So in Van Buren's mind, he's probably thinking he'll never play this season. And look, he's already started a game. He's played against Alabama, and he's going to start 2 more games.
He was told by Brian Kelly, and we were all told by Brian Kelly.
A lot
Kelly
of people were told that they stuff were going, by Brian he was Kelly. Going,
why do you always interrupt in the middle of something?
Just go ahead. Go ahead, Todd.
He was going to be redshirted. He was told that. We were told that.
Right, right.
That was the plan. So was Juwan Johnson going to be redshirted.
Right.
That was the plan. It blew up. All right.
But I think he enjoys the fact that he's playing, and that it blew
I know,
up.
But that's short-sightedness on his part.
Sure, he's a kid.
Time, money, value. He could actually make several hundred thousand more dollars if he would redshirt this year, if not up to $1 million. Depends on what they're paying the quarterbacks. By the way, we're trying to get all that information out of LSU right now, what they're paying the players, and they're refusing to provide it.
Yeah. Well, and it was part of when they passed the NIL law. It said that they did not have to disclose it. So,
we may challenge that.
How did you guys think he played Saturday?
I thought he played great. I think he should have been playing all year if you're going to go off that. Sounds like a contradiction to what I just said. But he was built for this offense much better than Garrett Nussmeier was built. Now, if they had an offensive line that could pass protect, it would have been a different story. But they didn't. So you need somebody with some legs.
I thought he played well, but it was Arkansas.
It was Arkansas, and they still can't score 25 points. It's crazy. It's absolutely amazing. They have yet to score 25 points against an FBS team. Maybe that'll happen this Saturday. Guys, thanks a lot. Andre, Glenn, Todd, this has been Tiger Rag Radio. I'm Jeff Palermo. For the latest in LSU athletics, check out TigerRag.com. Have a great night, everyone. From the Super Chevy Dealer Studio, we're signing off.
Tiger Rag is everywhere. Online at TigerRag.com. Like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/TigerRag Magazine. Or follow us on Twitter at Tiger_Rag.